The Gospel of the Lord according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So how many people, I'm throwing this out there because I'm pretty confident that everybody except maybe one knows exactly what happened 78 years ago yesterday?
Oh, I knew that.
You can see the look she just gave. Well, that's great.
That's just,
very good. She is in U.S. world history.
U.S. world history? Yeah, does that make sense?
Is U.S. not part of the world?
But it's just U.S. history.
Okay. But it was a very important day in the history of this country, was it not? And I know some of you in here were probably even alive at that time, and maybe you can remember it. I know my parents do. Especially my father. It was a time that really literally changed the course of and the direction of this country, did it not? We didn't see it coming, right?
No.
So that brings us to Isaiah. And you think about in Isaiah, you think about the scripture read today, and you say, well, what in the world is he getting at? Well, we know from that stump of Jesse and the branch that grew, we knew, because we have scripture, we know what comes out of that branch, do we not? Jesus, right? It was from Jesse, through Jesse's son, who was, starts with a D, David, and so on and so forth. We get the lineage of Jesus, and if you were to look at Matthew chapter 1, you would get that, right? But I bring up to you the fact of World War II, because in today's message of Isaiah, which happened thousands of years before World War II happened here, the question still arose, and who was Isaiah talking to at that time, and where were we at the beginning of World War II? Is we were asking ourselves this question: is where's our hope? Do we have hope? What is hope? Well, Isaiah's time, they were asking the exact same thing, and Isaiah was emphasizing the fact that hope is there, but where does it come from? You see, many of us put hope in other people, do we not? In other situations, in other things that we feel we have control over. You say, well, I hope to do well on the exam because I am prepared, is it not? Or I hope that you will do well. So what does it mean? What is What does it mean to have hope? What does the word hope mean? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary, and I really like this definition. It says, hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. Events will turn out for the best. You see, it is in a time of war and in a time of real bad situations that hope is hard to find, is it not? It's at a, and we can't even imagine it in this country, because the last time war was really fought on our soil was probably Civil War. It was many, many, many years ago. I mean, I'm safe to say nobody in this room was there, right? So we don't know that. And we've had events where we feel close, right? 9/11, somebody brought it to us, right? It was terrible. It was awful. And we see remnants of that even today, just as recently as Friday, when on a naval base, somebody decided that he was going to take matters into his own hands. So what is hope? What is this hope that Isaiah is getting at? You see, in today's world too, another situation is there's so much noise going on in the world, is there not? I mean, you go on the internet, and there's all kinds of information out there. Do we believe any of it? Well, some of it might be true. Some of it we don't know, right? But it's all a bunch of noise. We listen to the radio. It's all noise. All this noise in our lives. But yet, really, all we want is hope, do we not? Because it's that persistent hope in those times of real difficult situations that keeps us moving forward. Because without hope, what do you have? What's the reason to move forward? Do we know? And see, that's where the people were at the time of Isaiah, at the time of this. See, the kingdoms had been split many years before. There had been several kings that had come. And what had happened to all of them? They had drifted further and further away from the Lord. They had drifted further and further away from the covenant of the law. They were drifting away from God himself. Now, the one thing I promise you about God is, not only is God jealous, but he's jealous in a way that he is always, always, always pursuing us, because he loves us. He loves us just as much today as he's going to tomorrow, not a bit less, not a bit more. So therefore, when we drift away, it's not us that turn to him. He wants that. It's him that's always coming to us. The question is, do we recognize it? Yesterday, Chris and I had the opportunity to go to Belmont Abbey. Many of you have probably been there. And they had a Christmas program, which was, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was their theater department that gave this, and part of it was a mix of carols we knew, and some of them were funny, and then some readings. But there was one guy that told a story that really just hit me right in the gut. Right in the gut. It made me think of my parents. It made me think of my education as a child, but it really made me think about how fortunate and blessed that I am to live now. And the guy told a story. He said, you know, I grew up in Brooklyn, and the only reason that, I mean, he grew up there, and he knew of a Jewish man that grew up there that had survived the concentration camps. See, a lot of people after the war immigrated to the U.S., right? Because this was a place where people could find hope. There was hope for a better life ahead, hope for a new future. And this guy got to know this guy that owned, the guy owned a bakery in Brooklyn, in a neighborhood there. And he asked him, he said, and one day he opened up about talking about his experience. And he said, you know, the only reason I survived was because I was a teenager. I was just a child. He said, let me tell you what happened. He said, they came in one night from my village in Germany, and they rustled us all up. They gathered us. They put us in the boxcars, and they stood us so tight together in there, and they were sending us to Auschwitz. Now, we all know what Auschwitz was, right? It was the death camp. If you went to Auschwitz, you probably didn't leave alive. And he said that the journey was long, and they were in these boxcars. It was in the winter time. They had no clothes. They had just the clothes that was on their backs. And they were packed in there very tight. And he said sometimes they would leave the cars, these boxcars, sit there overnight. They had no food. They had no water. They certainly didn't have blankets. They had none of the comforts in life in which we did. And he said, I was in there, and I was cold. I could hardly feel my hands. And I looked around, and there was this old man there, he said. And this old man was just about to freeze to death. And he said, God laid on his heart that he should go over there and just hug this old man. Can you imagine hugging somebody you didn't know from Adam? You didn't know him from anybody. And he said, I just held this elderly man. I held him as tight as I could. And I said, please hold on. Please hold on. So as he did, he said, I could feel his skin, and it was like ice. There was no circulation in there. It was getting ready. He was starting to get hypothermia. That's the right word, right? Mm-hmm. So he looked around and everybody was still. He could hear nothing. He said, but he just kept rubbing the man's arm, and then he kept rubbing his back, because what happens when you do this? You get friction. You want this circulation in your body. And he said, and I just did that, and I did it for hours. I did it all night, and I just kept doing it, praying to God that eventually the heat would come. And as the morning came and the sun hit on the boxcar, things started to warm up. And he said the silence was deafening. He looked around in the boxcar. There were only two people alive. Two people. There was him and the man he was rubbing and holding all night. Everybody else had froze to death. You see, a lot of times we don't hear the voices that are out there. A lot of times we don't listen to what is being said to us. And you see, it's impossible, or it's very difficult to be able to hear someone if you're not listening. If you're just listening to, how many people have been in a situation where you've been just given some awful news, and somebody comes up to you, and they say, well, what's wrong? And you start to tell your story. And before you get your story finished, what do? They say, well, gosh, I know what you're feeling. I had the same thing. And then they go into their story. What just happened? What just happened? How do you feel at that point? Do you feel any better? No, because the person, good intention and all, I'm not taking it away. Good intention and all, now they've taken it to them. And they made it about them. And we live in such a very self-centered, selfish society. Right? I mean, narcissistic to the point where we do that. It's second nature. What we really need to do, is to be able to listen to understand. You see, the things that Isaiah is writing here are really pretty radical, are they not? When he speaks of the knowledge and understanding and wisdom of the Lord, he's not talking about an intellectual knowledge of God. He is not talking about that. When he speaks of God, he is speaking of the knowledge based on fellowship with God. The relationship we have between ourselves and the Maker. Not what we think, but that relationship, you see, and it's from that where you can start to understand as we listen. He draws the parallel. He says, where the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Well, come on. A wolf is going to look at a lamb and say, that's lunch. And the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. Same thing. And the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. When he talks about this contrast, he says it's not going to be easy. But when our focus and our hope is placed in the right place, we can live in a dangerous world, which it is. And we can have hope because we know that our Savior lives. Our God is God of all, not just me. Because if he was God of just me, it would be pretty messed up. You see, the question I beg to ask you is, who are you listening to today? Are you listening to God? Are you listening to that little voice in the back of, or maybe that conscience? I mean, Kay came to me today and she was given an example, and I say, listen to that. If you feel God motive drawing you somewhere, pray about it. Call somebody and say, look, I feel God is really motivating me to do this. What do you hear? And when somebody calls you and tells you their story, I challenge you to just listen. Don't interject. It's hard. I know. I'm guilty of that all the time. It is hard to not do that. But just listen. Listen to try to gain an understanding. And you see, and it's from that where hope comes. And then from that hope, we see people who have hope, is it not easy to experience joy and peace and comfort and understanding? Is it not? Can you see how that all kind of feeds itself? See, this is what Isaiah was telling the people. And then he says, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then we go to the letter of Paul sent to Romans today. And Paul was drawing exactly out of that. Did you notice? Kay noticed it when she was reading it. And from that, Paul sums it all up in Romans 15:13 is one of my favorites in all scripture. When he says, and again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. So what Isaiah was telling the people, look, God is God, not just of the chosen people, but he's God of all. Doesn't that give you hope? Even the people that we don't like. And then he says, in kind of his benediction of this part of his letter, he says, may the God of hope, not the God of judgment, not the God of condemnation, not the God of fear, but the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace. See how that from the hope gets you the joy and the peace, right? In believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And it comes back full circle again. So when you have hope, you have joy and peace, you give the joy away, you get more joy, you get more hope. You see how that circle of life happens? This is what Isaiah is talking about. He's telling the people, look, it's been awful. You've had some horrible kings that have just totally abandoned you. But I'm here. I'm still the Lord. And from this branch, from a stump, I'm going to bring the Messiah. So who are you listening to in this season of hope? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to yourself? Are you looking for hope? I'll close with this verse. Psalm 62:5 said, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from